Good morning. I wrote this word down on my notes about when I had no notes, okay? I wrote this down as a quote, and sometimes I'll hear something or something in my mind, and I'll write it down, and I have a little file where I write things. And I wrote this statement a few weeks ago, and I took it out before one word was on my page. I pasted this at the very top, and here's the exhortation to me and to you. Now, there's a tendency because you're church people, and you know the drill, and you know all that stuff, and you know everything, but now listen to this. Here's what I wrote. Don't lose the wonder of the word. Don't lose the wonder of the word. Say that with me. Don't lose the wonder of the word. Every one of us have at times lost the wonder of the world. Word. We get in circumstance. We get overwhelmed. We get disappointed. We get aggravated. We don't feel too good. Or just with the passage of time, it's not the priority. But don't lose the wonder of the word. Don't lose the wonder. When I say wonder, I see those pictures of little kids looking up with their mouth hanging wide open. Don't lose the wonder of the word. The second statement I want to say for you today, every time you read the word, expect an encounter with Jesus. Every time, if you're just reading the word, like here's your scripture for today, you're not going to have an encounter. But every time you read the word and hear the word, what is that encounter today? See, that's the priority, the beginning, your start. Don't lose the wonder of the word and think every time I read this, I'm not going to lose the wonder and I'm going to expect an encounter with Jesus. The great historic preacher named Hudson Taylor said it this way, do not have your concert first, and tune your instruments afterward. Begin your day with God. That's how you get to the point where you don't lose the wonder of the word. How you expect every time. Today we're continuing a thought that we've been on for about 5 or 6 weeks. We started with three young men and the story there. The parallels are amazing. Someone told me, said, man, you've made it so relevant for it. No, I'm not. I'm just reading it and letting it do its thing. And we're still living in a time today, right now, we're dealing with evil hearts that do not want us to be healed. We're dealing with evil hearts who do not want us to be together. We're dealing with evil hearts that do not want us to be free. Sadly, it emanates from those who have been entrusted to lead us, to serve us, to protect us, to do us no harm. That's because the hearts of leaders on all sides are convoluted. In fact, Romans 1 says it this way, they presume themselves wise, but they became utter fools. That's where we are today right now, and it's everywhere. That's why we need a new encounter every day and not to lose the wonder of the world, of the word as we walk in this world. The pressures of this day, I think I said it 6 weeks ago, I've been amazed at what we've all walked through in our hearts and lives, and especially since we're digging out of what we've been doing the last few weeks. I'm especially amazed that you expect people who don't serve God and know God to do certain things. But I've been amazed at the level, I put in quote, church folk, who've spent years around the word, but not in the word. In other words, they've lost the wonder of the word. Consequently, they're mixed up, confused, fearful, they're even shocked. I read a story a few weeks ago about three special men. Their testimony still fascinates me today. That is not losing the wonder of the word. The testimony of these young men in Scripture, don't lose that. Three sterling young men, they had been seized against their will. Then they had been picked out of the group because they looked better and they were stronger and they were brighter. They were re-educated. Their history was erased. They were relocated, well-groomed, well-fed. They were made comfortable by the leader Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon. And in 606, he took them over. And all they had to do was bow to him. But we read in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. That's a whole story right there. When you don't lose the wonder of the word, he's going to defend you. The word's going to defend you. If we're thrown into the furnace, the God whom we serve, and I've said that statement for 6 weeks, the God whom we serve will save us. He will rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear, Your Majesty, still respectful, we will never serve your God or worship the statue that you have set up. How'd they do this, though? I told you, the story still fascinates me. I've lived in it for months, but I don't understand. Don't you think it took courage to stand against the culture of that day? Don't you think even church folks said, hey, guys, just go along to get along. It's going to be okay. And I kept saying, what was in them? We've gone through all this, but there's one other word I want to drop in your heart today. How are they so brave? How are they so bold? there was something inside of them. There was something inside of them. There was a seed inside of them. There was a seed of conviction. There was a seed of insight. There was a seed of revelation. There was a seed of anointing. There was a covenant seed. There was a seed from God. So I change the opening line just a bit, and I say, don't lose the wonder of the seed. Don't lose the wonder of the seed. Seeds are life. A seed is God's greatest gift to us. A seed contains everything needed in a person, in a plant. A seed has everything of what will come forth. The DNA is already in there. You are here, believe it or not, I hate to tell it to you. You are here because of a seed. Some of you say, well, you don't understand. It was ever how you got here, God knows. God has a plan. God's put, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And sometimes God had to use other circumstances to get you here so you would hear the word and God, you could experience God's love. And boy, that's a message. Don't lose the wonder of the word and don't lose the wonder of the seed, because even more powerful than the natural seed that formed you is the seed that God put inside of each one of us. He put something inside of every one of us today. You see, it has everything we need. The shape of your face is because of a seed. The shape of your body, blame them. It's because of a seed. The color of your hair is because of a seed. Your hairline itself is because of a seed. Your mannerisms. Somebody said, guy was preaching one day, and he said, God knows every number, every hair on your head, and even all the numbers of hair in your weave, he said, right? That, yeah. He knows your mannerisms came from a seed. Your personality came from a seed. Your proclivities, your taste, your DNA is all because of a seed. Yes, a good seed, yes, but also it can be a bad seed if the right part of the seed is not cultivated. How many of you know the seed that you water, that you nurture, that you spend time with, that is the seed that will come forth? But there is a blueprint inside of you in the natural, but there is a blueprint, more important, inside of you that God put in you when you breathed your first breath on this planet. So I'm here to encourage you right now. Seed is powerful. Art, you know, in the natural, I don't know about you. I know some of you have gardens. I honor you. I'm amazed at you. I know a guy. I got a friend. Lynn and I were talking to our buddy the other day, and he's actually leaving a 9-to-5 job because he's doing so well raising seeds and plants in his yard. I know he does some stuff like that, and we've talked about. But you, we have no ability at all. We have no ability at all. It's just amazing. Linda's mom can come in and talk to the plant for a minute and do something to it. The next day, it's happy and shiny like that. The only plants that live in our house are the ones that are used to cold weather, cold air, and a rose will stay fine. But we just don't have that ability. Now, that we can do other things, but we're not very good in the natural. But I know this, though. There is value in every seed. Today, I want to talk about the most valuable seed. And you're going to see it on multi-levels for the next few weeks because it actually, it sets us up for the story. It's the most precious seed, I call it. But where does that come from? Well, like the other story that has implications and applications, you're going to see that same concept in the words of Jesus from Luke chapter 8. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. Those of you who hear the word parable, what it actually simply means, it is an earthly story that has a parallel heavenly meaning. And you read it and it is used for an example. And the word of the Lord says this. He told the story. He said, a farmer went out to plant his seed. And as he scattered it, notice he was busy. As he across the field, there are going to be four scenarios. Some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among the rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died from the lack of moisture. I put in the parentheses there a lack of nurture too, because Matthew 13 says it this way, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun since they did not have deep roots and they died. That's Matthew 13's take on that same scripture. So verse 7, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up with it, choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and it produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. And when he said this, he stopped for a moment And he drove the message home, and he made this statement. Anyone who hears, anyone with ears to hear this should listen and understand what I'm saying to you. He was telling them something. He was getting something over. He was talking not only the wonder of the natural, but there is a deeper meaning in the natural story he's telling there right there. How many of y'all want to be the fourth seed that produces and comes forth? And his disciples said, what does this parable mean? He replied, don't you know God rolled his eyes all the time? I mean, Jesus rolled his eyes all the time at these people. Don't you know when they said some stuff? Some guy said the other day, my wife is so good, she can see me when I roll my eyes in the other room. But can you see God when they would ask questions there and God would just roll his eyes again? He said, you're not permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Something precious is being imparted right now out of the mouth of Jesus. When they look, they really don't see. Why? Because they don't appreciate the power of the seed. They don't have an excitement about what the word says. He said, and you need to understand this. They might hear it, but they don't even understand it. That's eye-rolling material right there. And this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The New King James says the seed is the word of God, I believe. Then he begins to explain the scenarios. The seed that fell on the footpath, which was called the wayside, represents those who hear the message. How many of us have heard the message? We all have. Millions of people have heard the message. They might have got excited in the beginning about the message, but it wasn't in a good place. It said, by the wayside, how many of us heard? And only to have the devil come and take it away. Now, remember this statement right there. Only to have the devil come and to take it away. Now notice Jesus. There's a change from the footpath. The seed wasn't stolen from the footpath. Where was it stolen from? The heart. Got it? He's connecting. Taken away from their hearts, and it will prevent them from believing and from even being saved. Matthew 13 said, the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Verse 13. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. Hey, I'm excited about it. But since they do not have deep roots, they believe for a while, and then they fall away to temptation. You know, in some of the movements of God over the years, miraculous movements of God. We were going down the road the other day, and we've talked about it. And Linda started talking about back in a certain era where there was a definitive move of God in America in many, many places there. And we were in the middle of it, and we saw all those things. And a lot of us were there, and we saw things that were amazing, and there was joy. There was joy. There was excitement there. I told you the story last week about the young man who, when he was a little kid in kindergarten, they rolled his mom in a wheelchair down in one of our services, and the hands were laid on her. She walked out of her wheelchair. Their family, the trajectory of their life changed at that moment because they took it and ran with it, and he pastors a church today. And he's in his 50s today, but it changed him. But there was an excitement, especially some of the movements of the 70s going into the 80s. There was great joy. But with the passage of time, people did not take time to let their roots go down. It was like, we don't have time for this. But we felt that it was important to do that. It's not glamorous. It takes time, but you'll last when the storm comes. Finally, verse 14. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who will hear the message. Notice they're all together here. But all too quickly, the message gets crowded out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. Do you see a parallel story from our world today? Do you see our existence today, right now? There's so many cute little things that people say about the time that we live in right now. And the kid said to the mom, "What did y'all do when y'all were kids?" She said, "All right, tell you what, give me your phone, give me your game. Now go outside until it gets dark and come in." That's what we did at those things like that, and it was okay. But that's the way it is right now. The cares of this world. And even the good things. We get fat, sassy, comfortable, and we have lost the wonder of the word. We've lost the wonder of the seed. Well, you don't know. the bottom line, we've lost the wonder of the word and the wonder of the seed. And they never mature. They're on a level like this. And these are the ones that get train wrecked when circumstance comes up. These are the ones when they have nothing to fall back on and when they're overwhelmed and so many people are. And that's what you've seen a lot today. People that profess the word, that were close to the word, heard the word, but their roots were not deep in the ground. So when the first wind came, they joined the wind and they were, well, gone with the wind. 15. Fourth scenario. The seeds that fell on the good soil, represent honest, good-hearted people who, watch the statement, who hear God. Did everybody hear the word in the story? Watch, there's more there. They hear God's word, and I love this word that he used here, cling to it. I love that word. And not just produce, but what? Patiently. Now, how many of you don't like that word? We don't like that word. We don't like that scenario. They patiently produce a huge harvest. Unfortunately, every one of us have experienced all four of these levels in our life. We are every one of these characters. And it's there for us to see as an example what to shoot for, what to be aware of, what to put our anointing antennas up. Our discernment radar should be on. Our discernment radar should be on at all times. And as I read this story here, I said, how can I bring it together? So I wrote two lines. Here's the first line. Before the worlds were formed, God placed a divine seed in you. Before the world was formed, God put a seed in you. Jeremiah told us that plainly. The word of God is throughout there. Before we even showed up, before the world was formed, there was a divine seed. There was a divine seed that was put inside of each one of us. Also, we understand that there's another seed of carnal man that's there, and there's a war going on. Here's the second statement that I wrote, but here's what you got to know. And since the moment you breathed, Satan has plotted to steal the seed. You got it? Since the moment you breathe, this is your life right here. Before the world was formed, God put something inside of you. He saw you. He knew you. We kid around and I play with you about some of these things of our DNA and stuff like that. But God knew every bit of those things. He knew who you were. He knew what you'd look like. He knew what he wanted to do with you. And I come to you today to encourage you. Be encouraged and recognize that God has put a special seed in each one of you today. Let's rejoice in that spirit. Why is that? I tagged myself out in the margin. Why is there such a war going on? Why do we have that second line? Because Satan knows what seeds can produce. He knows what a seed can bring forth. He knows the value of the seed. So if he can rob it in the early stage right there by not letting it go, he'll do that. Or if later on, if you got a little something, you'll get loaded down with circumstance and situations, and it crowds out the wonder of the word and the wonder of the seed. Why? He knows what it can do. He knows what it can do. He knows the potential. And I'm going to prove that in a minute. I've seen lives destroyed. I've seen families fail. I've seen dreams crumbled. I've seen destinies crushed. I've seen minds disturbed. I've seen personalities changed by the theft of the seed of God in the life of someone. It'll change a personality. We've talked over the years. Some of you can look at your photographs of you many years ago when you were dead and in trespasses and in sin. And you can look at your countenance. You can look at your eyes. And you can see a different person. But when you see a picture of you in a different time where after God has touched your life, a countenance can change. A countenance will change. It comes when the seed is growing the way it should grow. So continuing from last week, as we walk in faithfulness, we live by faith. We live under God's grace and God's mercy, and we don't deserve it, but as we tender what he's given us, that grace and mercy continues. Because why? The seeds are the essence of life. In our core, that is the essence of my life. My life depends on the seed that was put inside of me. But not all seeds are good. Sometimes seeds fall into the wrong hand in the natural. There's weirdness going on in our world today of people trying to engineer seeds and things like that. I'm going to talk about more of that little next week. And that's crazy. That's demonic. They know the power of the seed, but to try to control the seed is actually demonic in many ways. You say, well, what's your starting point? Well, do they honor the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I don't see that in some of the structures of today. Which brings us to understanding the life in the seed. And the seed is precious. And just as the physical life depends on a seed to start us and to sustain us in our natural, the spiritual life needs to nurture what God put in us before the world was formed. Don't apologize for it. They want you to apologize for it now. They want you to be ashamed. Let's do not. Let's don't fall for that. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. We will not deny the seed that God put in us. Spiritually, the first seed leads to a new birth. The first seed that leads to a new birth is the Word of God inside of us. It's been there, and if we want to make it come forth, the Word, it's got to be the Word. Don't lose the wonder of the Word. You can trace many things. They lost the wonder of the Word. Last year, we spent months going through the first five books there. How many times did we read the Word that said, but they soon forgot? God. They lost the wonder of the Word. If you've lost the wonder of the Word today, use this season as a springboard to charge that thing and stir that in your heart. You know, what's really funny about this is the longest parable, okay, in lengthwise. This is the longest parable. And he goes out of his way to talk about the necessity, not of the seed. The seed's already got the thing down. But the necessity of good soil in the story. But the good soil, the receptive soil, is a good heart, a righteous heart for God. We read the scripture over and over because their hearts were far away from God. This parable is probably the most critical of all parables on multi-levels. It speaks against those who have denied the Word and run from the Word and not been changed by the Word and not love and honored the Word. And it also is very critical of the way the theft comes to our lives. The seed that is planted in our heart, and our hearts like the ground. They tell me, Keith, I don't know if it's true or not, but for seed in a natural thing, the ground has to be prepared. When I say ground, think hearts. Our hearts must be prepared to receive that. You know, if your heart's not prepared for the Word, it's not going to get there anyway. It's going to bounce off. But our hearts must be soft toward God and to His Word and what He gives us. That goes back to line number one. Do not lose the wonder of the Word. Our hearts must be prepared. Our hearts must be soft toward God. Hearts are hard today. Hearts are angry today. Hearts are hard. Just listen. Hearts are hard today. But the heart needs to be watered. The heart needs to be fed with the Word of God. Then it becomes what we are, what we have, and what we produce. And that is precious to God. Psalm 126 says it this way. It's called precious seed. Precious seed. The thing that was put in you from day one is precious. Don't let the cares of this world take it away. Don't let the confusions of this world, don't let those things rob you of what God has put in you to see come forth. I was kidding somebody the other day. How many of you want to be like the picture on the box? Any of you ever eaten those diet meals? Anybody of you ever buy one of those things? You ever looked at the picture on front? Let me tell you something. They don't come out that way. They don't look that way. They don't look this way. I ate one a few months ago. I called her over. I said, all right, here's the box. Look at that. Is there any similarities there? There was none. I said, we could sue them for truth in advertising right now. But the God that you serve, you'll look better than the box picture. If you come forth and bring forth right there, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed will come again with a spirit of rejoicing. There's a happy face when we're rejoicing. The precious seed is here. The precious seed is true. Because why? Because of us? No. But because Jesus is that original precious seed. Before even we were in the picture, Jesus was that precious seed. Jesus came forth from a precious seed. From the beginning, the war for the seed has always been real. And regarding that seed, God had to put the devil on warning, because not only did the devil know, but God knew. And he was telling him, you get back the very first book, the second or the third chapter. Here's what God said to that sucker. I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Her seed was going to be some powerful. Her seed was going to be the Word of God. Her seed was going to be the Son of God. And that seed, that thing that comes out of that one thing that's planted in her, everything is there. Everything is there. And that's why from day one, that even before the worlds were formed, even Satan knew the power of a seed. But God said, it's not going to happen. That seed was going to be, some powerful. So why does he rage? Because all the properties that God needed when he put that seed in Jesus, all the properties that God needed were put in him. All the text of his mission was put in him at that moment. His instructions were put in him at that moment. Who he was to be, what he was going to say, it was put in him for that moment. He was so precious. He brought forth great fruit. Man, there's so many parallel stories if I had time when doing the parallels of the seed and when he goes in and comes forth. Oh, man, there's so much there. He went into the ground to even bear more fruit. That's us. Yes, it is. It's precious. Why? Because the seed has life. Don't lose the wonder of the seed. Don't lose the wonder of what God put in you. Don't get in the middle of your battle and forget why you're even there. He's put you here for a reason. The seed is the Word of God, he told us in that parable. It is our source of life. It is the source of not only our spiritual life, but it's the story of the spiritual reproduction also in our life. Because if I read it right, there was joy and there was commendation at the point where it said, this seed brought forth great things. We should walk, this is getting a change a little bit. We should walk and live our lives to preserve and to protect the seed that is in us. There's a lot coming at you. There's a lot coming at us today. And we should be ferocious covering and protect that which God has put into us today. It's spoken of so cavalierly, so cruel in so many levels. But it is precious. It's precious. And it's there so that we will bear fruit. It's there so we can be productive. It's in us. We must be aware. We must be wise with the words of Jesus. Because the evil one knows the power of the seed better than you do, by the way. Don't try your little arguments with him. You're going to lose that. Don't try. Don't. You just stand on the Word of God. Don't lose your awe. Don't lose your sense of purpose. Don't lose that sense that God put something in you and it will bring forth. The original seed crushed his head, and at that moment in chapter 3, sentenced him to hell and eternal damnation. Not just because he said it at that moment, which is true, but also because of what was going to come forth from that moment. From day one, boom, it was all about the seed. From your day one, it's all about the seed that God put in you. And sometimes the conflict, the discombobulation that we all deal with, it's not that thing. It is an assignment to take the seed out of our heart. The enemy now has focused on any means possible to steal it. We see it in our world today. We see it in the fragmentation of our society today, especially when you try to demean what the Word of God is. You can't read the Word of God because you don't want to offend little Timmy's little psyche in school. We can't read it anymore. Don't lose the wonder of the seed. Don't lose the wonder of the Word. Here's what I wrote. From Christmas to Calvary, the price was paid to protect the mission of the seed. Wow. Why are we starting this season? We're honoring from Christmas to Calvary the gift of that seed. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And remember, you are so unique, so special. It's in you. And I said already, God placed it in you before the world came, but the plot is to steal it. Why is that? You read in 2 Peter that what we receive in our hearts from God, remember I told you that seed decides what you're going to look like, how tall you're going to be, the shape of your face, and all those different things there? Okay, the seed of the word of God that was put in you from day one, I like the way it says in 1 Peter 1. Everything's there. All that pertains to life and godliness was put in you. Don't get bogged down on the natural story of the seed. Get bogged down on what the word of God has put inside of you. You've got everything you need that's been put in you. But yeah, you got to understand, but it's not magic, though. It's cultivating. It's the word. It's the softening of a heart. It's the reading of the word. It's the gathering just like this. It's the singing of a song. It's the protecting your ears and your eyes and your mind from situations that rob that seed from you right now. Because there is also a carnal seed that the natural father imparted to us. And if the seed that is watered and fed will bring forth the crop. It's a disease crop if you feed and water the carnal thread. It will kill off all that's good. It will choke out all the God-desired seed that's inside of our life. Be careful about the seed you let grow in your life. A seed is doubt. A seed is fear. A seed comes from hate and it brings anger. It brings arrogance, criticism, meanness, unkindness, unthankfulness. That's what we've been preaching about, unthankfulness. It all begins with a seed in our heart. So beware. I said, be careful and beware. Seeds are powerful. And the first, I think, truthfully, the most dangerous first seed is the seed of doubt. You go back to the book, Hath God Not Said? Plug in that doubt in somebody right now. Somebody can be real smooth, but plant something and you, bump, 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 radar needs to go off. That's called discernment. God put that, that's part of it. And if you will cultivate that, work it, honor it, love it, protect it, nurture it, it'll work. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. But the word says, even though you might feel overwhelmed, and again, I'm moving all around with the pictures of the seed today. I've only got this and next week to give you a shot at it. If you have enough faith, like a little seed, there's enough promise, there's enough power, and it's a parallel of the promise and the power that's put inside of you. And if you feed that, it will come forth. It may be small. Maybe you're working right now. Maybe you feel insignificant. God's put something in you, though. Just don't stop. Be diligent. Be diligent. Be diligent. Love that. Nurture it. Protect it. Check it out periodically. Love on it. Give it stuff that'll feed it. You get some new flowers in your house. I know this much. They give you that little pack to pour something in it. That's about all I can do right now. But I understand that that flower needs that. It needs the water. It needs that thing working there so it'll be happy and it will smile and it will blossom. That's you guys. That's me. That's you today. Blossom. Because God put the seed in you. But if that's the only seed you got, the word said you can move a mountain. It may be small. God sees this. He sees where it's going. He knows the potential of the seed. Well, I've made mistakes. Quit worrying about the mistakes. Quit worrying about the mistakes. Quit going back. We live with the mistakes usually occupy more space. And what does that do? That chokes out the wonder of the word, the wonder of the seed. C.S. Lewis said it this way. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. That comes with the recognizing of the seed that God has put in each. That, I mean, God has put that in each one of us. He's put something inside of us, a seed to come forth. We can change the ending as we lift up his name. We can change the ending if we don't lose the wonder of the word, if we don't allow these things to grow in our lives. And like Jesus, all the properties you need for your mission are present. They were present at the very moment God spoke it. I wrote down four words. Love it, respect it, cultivate it, and feed it. Love it, respect it, cultivate it, and feed it. I've got a list. Protect your seed. Protect your word. Protect your testimony. Protect your heart. Protect your song. Protect your house. Protect your anointing. Why? Because it's precious and it's valuable. So be encouraged. You know, they like to talk to you about the seeds of greatness in you. Hey, that's more than some motivational talk. That's the word of the Lord. Love it. Respect it. Cultivate it. Feed it. Protect your seed because its value is so strong. Its value goes to the heavens. The seed of the word of God, the Holy Ghost DNA, is inside of us before our first breath. So don't let anyone steal it. So how do you do it? How do you cultivate the word? I've always been moved and I've always loved a special verse. His name was Ralph Cushman. He was a minister, in fact, a bishop in the Methodist Episcopal Church up in the New England states. He was a poet. He was a writer. He wrote about meditation unto God and meditating on the word as a teacher. Some friends sang a song of it a few years ago, but I want to read it for you. And this is how you cultivate the seed. This is how you nurture the seed. This is how you love the seed. This is how you water the seed God's put inside. This is how you keep your heart soft toward him, the water of the word. And Ralph Cushman wrote this probably right in the early part of the 1900s. He actually lived to 1960. I love this poem that he wrote. And it's called The Secret. This message is called The Secret. It's in the seed. Here's what it says. He said, I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and his presence rose like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long his presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me. Then we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and they were battered. Other ships were sore distressed. You gave me that word on the bridge today. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought us a peace and a rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too might lose the moorings with his presence left behind. So now I think I've learned the secret. Learn from a many troubled way. You must seek God in the morning if you want him through the day. That is loving the seed. That is appreciating the seed. Don't let anything, don't let circumstance, don't let, I was telling Tyler something the other day. I said, you know, Tyler, God's good. People do goofy things, though, but God's always good. And I said, you just need to know God's good. God's word is true. And we were talking about a situation. And I said, God's word is true. Cultivate that word. Love that word. And this was already working in me at that time. So today I say to you, I told somebody one day, I said, you're going to let a human take you away from God? You're going to let a human take you from God Almighty? No, nurture what he's put inside of you. Your name is on it. He put it in you before any of this existed. How important is that word? One day this will all be gone, but the word will be the priority. And those who nurtured it, who loved it, who cultivated it, who protected it, will bring forth great things for the glory of God. So you see, your circumstance of today, don't get too overwhelmed. Cultivate the seed God put into you. Not the seed that the natural man put in you. Cultivate that, and it'll crowd out those weeds every time. Let's all stand. Father, we love you today. We just thank you for your goodness. You're a good God. Father, right now, the places in our heart where the seed has been planted, let us cultivate it. Let us love it. Let us look back at the time that God put something in our heart that changed us. And we knew nobody could convince us otherwise that we had not met you and been touched by you. What that was something that you put in us at that moment. But with the cares of this world, with the passage of time, with circumstance, the word of God is not the priority. Father, right now we repent from those things, but we don't worry about those things of in the past. We are working on the ending, as C.S. Lewis said. Father, I ask you to love on each one that's here today. Father, during this time and they walk through a store and they hear a song of this season, let them know it is that season that put the seed of life inside of each one of us. Let us know it's the seed of DNA inside of us that gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Let us listen to that song and be joyful of the gift that we have received. Let us don't be afraid of that. But Father, I just ask you to love on each one today. Bless them. So many are overwhelmed. So many are discouraged. So many have other struggles they're dealing with right now. Father, let a priority be the word of loving the word and not losing the wonder of the word nor the wonder of the seed that's put in each one of us today. Father, I ask you to love on each one and bless them in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you need a special touch, I'm just believing that God would love on you in a great way. That you, when you close your eyes and you lay on the bed tonight, thank God for that seed that he put in you. Every one of our journeys are different. We came from different stories and different experiences, but we are all common in the fact that we have a common Savior that put a seed in each one of us. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for doing that. Lord, let me be worthy of what you've put inside of me. Let my walk be worthy. As we walk in holiness, as we walk in righteousness, as we walk before you today, Father, I ask you to touch each one. Let the word go deep in each one. Let the word grow deep. Father, let us even the rest of a day and a week comes, let us not be far from the fact, God, you put something in me, and it's bigger than I can even ask or think. I pray for you this week. I pray you have a wonderful week. Some of you are struggling with repairs still. Some of you are struggling with other things. Some of you are struggling with job situations. Some of you are overwhelmed with things you're dealing with right now. And I lift my right hand above you and I say, may the Lord bless each one of you. May the Lord keep each one of you. May the Lord be gracious to each one of you. May he grant you peace in Jesus' name. And when the storm is raging around you, get courage from three young men who had a seed inside that said, King, you can do what you want, but the God we serve, he's going to take care of this in Jesus' name.